from the poet Rainer Maria Rilke. You, God who live next door, if at times through the long night I trouble you with my urgent knocking, this is why. I hear you breathe so seldom. I know you're all alone in that room. If you should be thirsty, there's no one to get you a glass of water. I wait listening always. Just give me a sign. I'm right here. As it happens, the wall between us is very thin. Why couldn't a cry from one of us break it down? It would crumble easily. It would barely make a sound. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, take my words and speak through them. Take our ears and let your understanding come through them. Take our lives and help them to be shaped for your purposes and your will. Amen. So there's no minimizing it. This has been one traumatic week in the news. After a year in which it's felt for some of us as if things could hardly get worse, come reports of thousands of human rights violations at our southern border. Did you try to fall asleep with the sounds of crying children echoing in your ears this week? Did you imagine yourself as a young child being taken from your parents, or as a parent realizing with horror that your child was not going to be returned to you? If so, you're not alone. There is something about this particular terror that has shattered our collective empathic wall. And now I don't mean the wall that the Trump administration has vowed to erect to keep immigrants out. I mean the emotional wall that precedes it. The one that we put up to keep outcasts and outsiders at bay. That wall has been getting a lot of reinforcement lately between the dehumanizing language of the anti-immigrant forces and the growing numbness of progressives, whom I count myself one, assailed by shock after shock to our values. But the sight of dark-haired children in cages seems to have opened up some serious cracks. Which can only be a good thing, right? That wall was only ever an illusion anyway. Any wall, any barrier that keeps us from recognizing our common humanity is just a smokescreen. Citizens, migrants, refugees, the truth is, wherever we happen to have been born, wherever we come from, we're all travelers on a human journey. Some of us find temporary shelter, and others are forced to keep moving. Evicted tenants, families fleeing domestic violence, GLBTQ teens kicked out of their homes, homeless veterans, so many wanderers on the earth. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, Jesus says, but the human one has nowhere to lay his head. How will we shelter each other during our sojourn on this earth? What will we do to offer solace and belonging to our fellow travelers just looking for a place to call home? This is a crushing time to be poor in America. Staggering inequalities of income and wealth, exploitatively low wages, a national housing crisis, skyrocketing health insurance costs, widespread hunger, especially among children, mass incarceration, voter suppression. Yet it seems that very few people in America are willing to talk seriously about poverty. It's all around us, but we don't really want to think about it. We don't really want to deal with it. So is it to us that God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, telling the prophet, shout out, don't hold back, make them listen. Tell them you go to the temple, you pray, you fast, you practice the traditions, and then you go out and you oppress your workers. You quarrel and fight. You exploit the poor and vulnerable. You speak evil of other people and point the finger of accusation at your neighbors. You pursue your own worldly interests on the day I set aside for gratitude and rest. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, God says, a trumpet to bring down the Jericho walls that keep people from seeing, actually seeing each other's basic humanity and recognizing that we are all in this together. Why do we fast, but you do not see the people complain to God? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? And it's a measure of just how walled off these folks have become that they think that they are the ones who are being treated unfairly. Privilege is a form of blindness. Maybe that's why Jesus began his ministry by proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Painful as it is, it's a good thing when those of us who have been shielded from the cruelties of poverty and the struggles of immigrants find our empathic walls suddenly breached. We, the sheltered, need to become unsheltered to the realities of our neighbor's distress. The news and images and eyewitness testimonies this week have hurt, and they should hurt. A pain like that is far too great for just the immediate victims to bear. That kind of suffering needs all of us to arise and shoulder it together. Only then can we begin to face the need for collective solutions to the challenges of our time, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke, to share our bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into our houses, to cover the naked and not hide ourselves from our own kin. The lines that divide us are an offense, God says. Those lines cry out to be confronted and crossed and ultimately erased. And notice who God is addressing in this passage, not the oppressed, not the hungry, not the homeless poor, but the comfortable. It's up to us to loose the bonds of injustice that have advantaged some over others. It's up to us to cross those lines, to reach out, to befriend, and to make common cause with our neighbors. God is calling us, urgently calling us to get up and migrate, to be on the move, to cross over into that unknown country and begin to get to know our neighbors on the other side of the them-us border. After all, isn't that what God does with us all the time, every day? Remember what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's a most amazing story of migration, isn't it? God leaving everything behind to cross the border between heaven and earth. Why would God put God's self at the mercy of the country of this world, a world which finally would show no mercy? Can anyone read this book and not grasp that God's heart is with refugees and with migrants, with the displaced and the dispossessed? Could anyone who claims to love this book fail to notice God standing on the side of the outcast? Maybe that's why God sometimes finds it necessary to shout. Beloved, this is the secret God wants so desperately to share with us all. Healing is waiting for us on the other side of all of our walls. This is what we've learned at the Friday Cafe. The Friday Cafe is a place that's designed to bring people together, people who are not alike, who are not facing the same life circumstances. All kinds of people, homeless, poor, affluent, immigrants. Each week we all sit down and we break bread together. We trade stories, we share lives, we talk about the week past. The sheltered, like me, hear firsthand what the unsheltered have been going through. The unsheltered find welcome, acceptance, respect. Every cafe becomes a kind of mini Sabbath, a holy space set apart for a glimpse, a taste of God's kingdom here on earth, a time to just be and to be together under the shadow of God's wing. Yes, the program provides things that people really need: nourishing food, clean clothing, toiletries, blankets, information about local resources. But our most important work is creating space for people to open their hearts and listen and be changed. And oh my gosh, it is hard work. And a lot of us pour a whole lot into making it happen, and it's stressful and crazy-making, trying to get everything ready on time. But then 1 o'clock comes, and our doors open, and our guests come in, and suddenly, it's just all grace. It's all God's doing. I know that because I see and feel the impact on every single one of us. You just feel better after being at the Friday Cafe, as if you've connected with something deep in yourself. Maybe it's that need we all share for wholeness. Maybe it's coming face to face with something that scared us or something that we had been guiltily avoiding and finding that it's really not so scary after all. Whatever it is, I can tell you, it's a powerfully freeing experience. And it makes me realize that as a nation, we have been going about this national security thing all wrong. Trying to keep people apart when what is most needed is to come closer and to face our problems together. What lasting solution, what good solution could ever come about that doesn't involve all of us in collaboration? The Friday Cafe has taught me that if we want to make America great, we're going to have to go about it in a new way. We're going to have to stop trying to wall each other off and start paradoxically opening our doors and welcoming each other in We need to come closer together. We need to hear each other's stories. There is no genuine healing that does not involve all of us at once. Beauty happens when people begin to trust God's goodness and grace. We can't know what it will be like in that land God has promised to show us, God's migrant people on a journey into God's promised realm. We have to set forth and experience it for ourselves. We have to be willing to migrate from the place where we are now to the place that God wants to show us. There is a deep longing in God's heart to give us freedom and the peace of belonging to God and to this world and to each other. But we have to be willing to trust God's word and follow God's leading, because we don't know how to get there by ourselves. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, God says, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. May God's wisdom and vision take root in our hearts. May we dare to live it out in our daily actions, and may it grow and bear fruit for many generations, and to God's name be blessing and honor, glory and thanksgiving. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Oh for a World. So it's my understanding that we have come now to a time where we are invited to share prayers out loud with the congregation, to hold each other in love in that way that only the church knows quite this, in this way, how to do. So is there anyone who would like to lift something up in prayer today?
So as you know, my sister moved to Florida. She flew out Friday night and arrived early Saturday morning. She told me that she's going to get the key to the house on Tuesday. So right now they are in a hotel until either Tuesday or Wednesday because they're waiting for their furniture to arrive. And my niece Melissa is driving there, but she should be in Fort Myers tonight to join the family. So prayers and blessings to everyone there.
For a family in transition, Lord, in your mercy. I didn't make that happen, did I?
Hey, everyone. So Kate and I are back for the week, and it's really good to be here. And we've gotten a chance to work with all the high schoolers who are doing their Community Service Week program, which has been really, really inspiring, really cute. And we actually had a chance on Friday to visit the Friday Cafe, and it was really inspiring and just a wonderful, very belonging place to be. So I really appreciate you being able to celebrate worship with us here today. And if you guys get a chance on Friday when it starts up again in the September time, I definitely would recommend visiting because it's a very holy, special place to go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. For returning and for communities sharing ministry, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
First, I wanted to give you an update on Sherry. They did total her car, but things are working out. She had to deal with the insurance company, but finally got settled, and she's doing a lot better. I do have a joy. George and Melody are not here today because yesterday they had a three-game, like a little tournament, and it was in Tewksbury, so I went to the first game, and it's soccer, and they had a really close game, but they won. They won 2-1, and then they were going to have a second game with another team. And then this morning, the reason they're not here is because they're having their third game. And after the first game, they won two games already, so this will be the third game. And yesterday, after they won the first game, the other team, which lost, nominated George to be the best player of the game. So it's pretty proud of him. And he won the sportsman, I think of the name of it, sportsman, something like that, yeah. So he was awarded that, and he's wearing it proudly around his neck. So good for him. I hope they win today. Thank you.
For life's little victories, Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you. There is a woman back home in Florida that we helped one day before we left on this vacation. But she has overwhelming needs. She was a dentist and has had double troubles. First a cancer bout and then also a storm that flooded her home. So she pretty much lost everything. She needs a lot of support. She needs people who are willing to go in there and help her go through her things. She needs prayerful support. She does not have a church. She just needs, so just keep Jane in your prayers, please.
Prayers for Jane. Lord, in your mercy. Let's continue then in prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for waking us up to blossom and birdsong, the smell of coffee and the sounds of the neighborhood. Simple mercies, but God, we are grateful for them. Grateful for the life that beats in our veins, for each humble breath that connects us to creation. We come before you today with deep concern for our world and our times. We pray for desperate southern neighbors making the long and dangerous trek to our nation's border, asylum seekers fleeing violence and terror. We pray for families, and most especially for the well-being of children. God, put your strength and determination within our hearts to continue responding with compassion and not to turn our faces away. We seek your help, O God, as we search for just solutions to this crisis, that your people may live in safety and peace. And we pray for our nation in the midst of conflict and division. Teach us how to come together again around our deepest values. We give you thanks, O God, for the large and small blessings of our lives, for love and friendship and family, for all that gives us joy, for Sabbath renewal and summer adventure. We thank you, gracious God. And we lift up to you all those who are especially in our hearts today, all those who are going through struggle or hardship, all who are sad or hurting, any who are worried about bills or housing or employment, those whose home is not a place of safety. We remember before you those who are living with illness or pain or struggling in relationships, facing hard decisions. God, we pray for ourselves and for the help we need from you today. Calm any fears that may be weighing us down, and help us grow in love and faith under the shelter of your merciful care. And now draw us together, God, in the love of Jesus, our friend in whom we trust our very lives. We ask these things in his most precious name. Amen. Let us stand and sing, "Be Thou, Be Now My Vision." dear friends, remember how short life is. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.